right there.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for your Boston Celtics. Justin and John here. We are into the finals, folks. Two games down. Well, one game and a complete bogus other game. I can't even, John. I'm sick. I've got a cold. I'm mad as hell. I'm going to try to be nice about this.
I'm sick of Draymond's bullshit. How about that? Does that mean we're both sick?
Dude, he says he deserves differential treatment. I think what you meant was preferential, but that's okay.
It's differential. It's still true, it is different.
Yeah, technically it's different. Correct. It's different.
More accurate to say preferential.
It's definitely more accurate to say preferential. And it would probably be even more accurate to say, as I said about 2 minutes into the game, the fix is in.
Yeah, dude.
I'm sorry.
No. Go for it. Go.
They're gonna call it a hard foul. They're gonna call it a hard foul. These guys are ridiculous. These guys are ridiculous.
Game. I'm starting to message into the Twitterverse things that I shouldn't even probably bother saying. It's not a good look. It's on the record forever. And I can't help it because it's a sham. It's an absolute sham. And the integrity of the game is out the window. I loved game one. And if we had lost game one, I still would have been happy. It was the first time in the postseason, and I'm talking about back in the third quarter when it wasn't going well for us, when we were down, I was still happy. Because when I watched that game one, I was like, oh, this is fun. This is basketball. This is what I like. And was I happy that the Celtics were down? No, I wasn't. But I didn't think they were necessarily playing their best game. I didn't think that their defense was as good as it could have been. And, you know, it just was what it was. But I felt like the game was called really even. No big swings, nothing out of control. Draymond basically told everybody he was going to do this in game two. And that should not be rewarded. He shouldn't come out and say two fouls, dude. Two fouls? He fouled out. He had four fouls in the first quarter that were obvious, like easy ones. Never mind the ones on the line. Four obvious fouls in the first quarter. And I think he had one at the half total. That's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. And if you don't think that the NBA is rigging this product at this point to get it to seven games every series, you're living in delusional land. And I think a lot of the people that say, but aren't you entertained? Oh, this is what basketball is all about. I love it. Make it go seven. They're the same people who love the WWE because they just love the showmanship of it. They don't care that the product is manufactured.
I give more credit to WWE fans than that, honestly, but I hear you.
No. But I'm just saying, I'm saying WWE fans know that it's manufactured, and that's not why they watch.
Yeah, but there's
they
honesty.
Watch for the entertainment.
But there's honesty about that, and there's no honesty
right.
about
that. Oh, I agree
this.
With that.
That's the issue, I think, with this.
I think the people in the NBA, though, that say that is my point.
Oh, yeah.
They are very well aware that this is a rigged product. To an extent,
the two best words in sports are game seven. What? No. Okay, if everything's on the level, sure. If you don't need the extender,
this is why people watch college basketball.
Or whatever.
It's the reason they watch college basketball. It's the reason that the NBA gets all the criticism and people are like, I like NCAA better. And I personally don't.
I like the pro product, but
yeah,
college product isn't very good right now.
College product would be great if they weren't going to the NBA out of high school or after 1 year. The college product college product would be decent.
It's also the way that they, the way that game is structured, and the number of timeouts and the tournament's awful. And it's just, anyway, I love the
NBA product.
Yeah.
But they've got to bring some integrity back to this. Listen, home court advantage and a little bit of that, or the team that's playing the hardest gets a little bit of an advantage. Sure. Or the benefit of the doubt of a call.
Yep.
What happened in game two is not a benefit of the doubt.
Right.
It's not a home court advantage.
No.
It's a deliberate action to ensure the victory of one team so that more money is made. Look, it's that simple. And if you don't believe it, you're deluding yourself.
Well, so let's, there's two ways I want to take this. There's one that we're talking about where the, how the media is not covering that and seemingly deliberately avoiding the topic because they're scared. And then there's the other part, which is talking about, you know, what happened on the court and really how that reacts. So let me get the media rant out of the way, and then we can talk about basketball.
Can you please work in Javi on your media rant?
Work in what?
That it was basically acknowledged during the broadcast by the former head of officials.
Steve Gavi. Right. Yeah. Steve Gavi says, you know, in this instance, you know, we're not going to call it because, you know, that would have kicked them out of the game. Look, okay. But here's the thing that this is why we did the show, right? Going back 16 years, this is why the show exists for 17 years almost now, right? 2005.
Definitely this is JB, ooh, Jim JB Metz's wheelhouse.
Justin, do you know what the anniversary is this year for the show?
Oh my God, it's the 17th anniversary. We're in the 17th year.
Whoa,
that's amazing.
For those, if you know, you know. You talked about it at the end of the last show anyway, but yeah, big deal. Interesting.
So if they win this in six and the game goes till after midnight, it will be I've already looked this up. It'll be June 17th. And the awesome thing about that is that was the exact same day they won Banner 17th.
The question is, does Patrick Gilroy have a show we can jump on late night?
That's if you know,
you really know.
You've been with us for a while.
That's right. A lot of the stuff we did in the early days, we're talking about things that were kind of not talked about in sports media or sports radio. We were talking about this show and not having this kind of, you know, completely weird ass take about everything.
Peter Vesey.
I've got to like Peter. Peter and I were boys on Twitter now. So this is,
I know.
We're kind of, you know, but the thing.
But he came on the show. That's all I'm saying.
And he did. That's
and
right.
He was a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. Still is, but.
But so like what I think's going on, right? Like this is what's bothering me. And there's a lot of guys, and I'm not going to name names because I don't know. I'm being nice, I guess. But there's a lot of guys that we came up with that are now blue check marks, and nobody wants to talk about the officials. Nobody wants to seem to talk about the fact that, you know, what you talked about. I'm okay if they don't want to go that far. I'm okay with saying there isn't something that connects these things. We've established why that is, but like, if you want to keep it just to this game and this result and what's happened between those two teams and those three officials, I'm okay with that. I'm okay if you're isolated to that issue because, okay, you're connecting with the other stuff. Maybe that's a place you're not willing to go. But if you're starting, if you have a podcast, okay, Sunday night and it releases Monday morning, and you're not spending the first 20 minutes on what the officials did or didn't do in game two, you are not doing what I don't think
the one liberty you have.
I don't think
you're not worried about, right. If you're not worried about having credentialed access, then this is exactly what this forum is for.
Exactly. So
because you're the only ones that can say it without consequence. Right. So you better start saying it.
I will give credit to Brian Robb and Mike Pina on the Winning Plays pod. They came with a show today, and it didn't happen in the first 20 minutes. Understandable. It's kind of away from what happened that night. And I think Pina is really one of the best analysts right now going on, better than Lowe. But they acknowledged the elephant in the room. You know, they acknowledged that the officiating was completely bizarre. And it was almost like they were afraid to go there because they knew it's like hot button. It's like touching the third rail. But you can't watch that game. Any clear-eyed person watching that game, you can't watch that and think, this is on the level. You know, you can't watch
Draymond
Green frigging full-on, you know, Junior Seau's, you know, Grant Williams in the back and be like, oh, well, what are you going to do? Draymond being Draymond.
And then the ticky-tacks on the Celtics in the same quarter. They didn't even navigate this properly.
Right.
They could have done this in a way that had a little bit more seamlessness to it.
Right.
But this is the thing. Just because this crew botched it and made it so glaringly obvious doesn't mean that this isn't happening on a regular night-to-night basis, just like Tim Donaghy told us. Right. Then everybody said, he's just sour grapes. Is he a great person? No, because he made a whole bunch of money gambling, right? So you know, he made it because he knew that this is the way things are.
I'm fine with that. And I agree with I hear what you're saying, but I understand if that makes somebody look crazy to connect those dots. But
my point is usually there's a flow, like, okay, the first quarter kind of went this way.
Sure.
In the second half, they didn't call it the same way. You balanced. Right. That's not what happened here.
Right.
And that's my point. Yeah. That's the difference between what lulls you into believing that this isn't a sham on a night-by-night basis versus game two. Literally 5 years from now, people should look back and look back at that game and say, that was when we knew.
Game two against Miami, 2011 Eastern Conference Finals. Rondo, the whole thing with that whole Dwayne Wade. I mean, that whole thing. And, you know, it's lost to time, but we remember it because it was such a shit show that the NBA put on towards the Celtics and against the Celtics towards Miami. And it was reminiscent of that. There have been nights in these playoffs that have been bad as well. But this seemed to me to be the worst because it was clear that Draymond, the only thing missing from Draymond from the tip was him frothing at the mouth. The man was on a mission. Everyone could see it from home. And from judging from those who were there, you know, and I'll give Bill Simmons credit. You know, he's like, I could see Draymond was you know, he was as animated as I've ever seen him. And he was out there to make a mess, to send a message, right? Which is totally within his right. Totally within his right to do that.
Yeah, but he should get called for the fouls, and he should have gotten the second flagrant, and he should be out of the game because that's what happens to somebody
who's
out of control.
That's right.
And so here's the thing. This game was an unsafe game. Mm-hmm. If
we're lucky that we got hurt.
The NBA is lucky that nobody lost their shit like the Palace in an NBA Finals. How would they have cleaned that up? And this is my thing. There's two things. One is you got to take a hat tip off to the Celtics for keeping their cool. And at the same time, you have to wonder why they didn't push the envelope themselves. When JB got mad and got up in Draymond's face, he should have got his ass ejected. They knew at that moment, this game was over for them. Even Ime didn't even try to fight out of the fourth quarter. And I'm not trying to say that he should have. Might as well rest the legs and everything else. Yeah. But that is not a normal move. That was a move of somebody who said, all right, we got you, you assholes. So you're not going to get a good fourth quarter. Nobody's going to be tuning in because we're not even going to roll out the starters. We're not playing your charade. This is ridiculous. So that's the first thing. Yes. Celtics should have forced the issue. Draymond forced the issue. They should have let it get unsafe. They should have made this a not throwing punches, not gotten violent, not like that. I'm saying that they should have shown the officials that they had made an unsafe environment, and they never did that. They never sent the message to the officials, you've lost control of this game. I think they fell short there. And that my criticism is not the turnovers. You made a great point on Twitter. The turnovers were created by non-calls. This is nonsense. Right. That would have been a normal turnover game if there wasn't that bullshit. So take that away. Right. They should have forced the issue and said this was unsafe. Well, secondly, what is going on in the Celtics front office today back to the league? There is no way that Wick and the team and they are not going, what are you doing? Uh-huh. There is no way because they're going to tell them, if you officiate another game this way, intentionally like this, we cannot guarantee that our players will not retaliate. Yeah. Because I don't know how they keep their cool, dude. I don't know how they keep their cool. I think the Celtics in six, I think they blow this shit away. I think they match up very well against Golden State in a fairly called game. And I think the league saw it in game one, just in film study. And they knew they had to manufacture it so that it wasn't a 4 or 5 game series. I literally think that's what happened.
Yeah, you said a lot of things there I want to jump on, but you did. I mean, it was a lot of good stuff. The turnover thing is to put an end to my media frustrations. I'm so tired of, look, there were bad decisions. There were turnovers. The Celtics really stepped on their own selves a lot of times in this game that had nothing to do with fouls. I'm not disagreeing with that in any way.
Absolutely.
Those turnovers are a problem. Those turnovers make Golden State that much more efficient, that much more potent, that much more difficult.
But they're forcing because they can't get any room because they're not calling the non-calls. It's the function of
this is,
how do we make something happy happen when the game is rigged?
Because
otherwise, we don't know how to generate offense in this environment.
So everyone's like, oh my God, this is crazy. I'm going to give Ryan Russillo credit on the Bill Simmons podcast. Ryan Russillo says, people can't look at free throw attempts as a sole, reason as to what's going on in a game. And I completely agree with that. Okay. You look at this game in the first half, and yes, Golden State did have a decided advantage. I think it was 17-10, but that's not really the tale. The tale is that Jaylen Brown gets his second foul on does not touch Jordan Poole, right? Does not touch Jordan Poole. He's hot. He's sitting down. Tatum gets his second foul quick. Smart or Tice?
But don't you think Emay should have left him out there and forced it? He should have forced it.
But given the way that the officials were calling it, I don't know that I would trust that. I mean, you're trying to mitigate that.
No. Listen, this has been my point.
No, you want to force 15 the years. See it.
15 years, make them foul Brown. Use all six. That's what happened. That's why we didn't get it. Because Draymond said, go ahead and call foul on me. No, you're not going to. Do you think the NBA wants Brown and Tatum out of the game at halftime? They should have played more minutes in foul trouble and forced the issue on the officials. Yeah. You're going to call my fourth? You're going to call me four in the first half? You're going to call Tatum for four in the first half?
I don't think they're going to get the benefit of the doubt. I think Draymond. So that's
my, it's not I, about that. It's not about that.
I think so. I no, think no, no, Draymond. No, no,
this is. I no, think you're. Draymond, you're see, right you're about
looking at a bigger issue. I'm no, saying no, no. Draymond. I think Draymond bullied the referees.
He absolutely
the
way
that
did.
They did that. I think Draymond had controlled that game from the tip. It wasn't about Zach Zarba. It wasn't about Tony Brothers. It wasn't about Jason Goble. I don't know who the third guy was. Josh Tibbin, maybe. It wasn't those guys. It was Draymond Green bullying those three and everyone else kind of getting out of the way, because quite frankly, it doesn't matter. It's Draymond's league game. We're just gonna back out. Like, that was the complete wrong way for the NBA to run that game.
I agree.
Set the tone.
But this is my point about the fouling. They should have fouled themselves out of the game. They should have forced the issue and made the officials put the sixth foul on early in the third. They should have countered that level of physicality. They should not have been pulled out after two fouls, because you knew what was going to happen. Game two, you knew it was going to be hard to win. You already stole game one. It's all a near impossibility to take the first two series on the road. And if you own an NBA franchise and you've been a coach and a player in this league, you know damn well that winning game two, walking in the door that day, was a near impossibility, regardless of the Draymond thing. Just everybody in the league knows. Why don't you look this up? When's the last time somebody in an NBA Finals, a team won the first two games on the road? When's the last time? Ever?
That's a good question. I'm not
so
sure.
Listen, you've been around the game long enough. You know the answer to game two. The minute that Draymond came out, hold on. The minute that Draymond came out and started dictating that, I knew in 2 minutes. I texted everybody I knew in the world and said, the fix is in. 2 minutes into that game, I knew we were losing, because it was obvious. As a coach who's a former player, you should force them to foul your players out, not from over-aggressive assaulted physical tactics. I'm just saying, Jaylen Brown should have ran into every asshole on the way to the line, onto the paint, with his knee up and his arm pushing off all the way to the rim. Dunk. Oh, yeah. He should have been doing that over and over, and Ime should have told them to do it, because two things would have happened. Either the fouls would have started going both ways, or the NBA would have to live with how the hell did Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum not finish the second half. How did they foul out that quickly? They should have absolutely returned serve, because it was the only chance they had. And so here's the answer to why not. The NBA would punish them again. The NBA would say, you didn't play our way. You didn't play the Patsy way. You didn't let us take this seven. And now we will punish you and your franchise for not getting with the program. The answer.
There's another answer to that. There's another why not. The other reason why not is that there are games that you get the bad whistle in the first half and the officials figure it out in the second half. And so you don't want it. You don't want
to. Not going to figure it out in the second half when you're the road team. It's never going to happen.
I don't know. There were games this season where I wouldn't say they got a considerably different whistle, but the Celtics were able to take a bad first half and turn into a good second half. I don't think it was signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours.
Game two, NBA Finals on the road, following a road one victory. I mean, a game one victory.
This is when we tie things together, and you say there is a master, you know, kind of plan here. Yeah, and I hear you. I can't say you're wrong, but I don't know that you're right either.
You know what would have been the better?
I would say if I'm a coach of a team, I don't play to lose, and I don't think playing the game is probably your better approach to trying to win this, you know, and instead going post game and having all the dialogue on social media and everywhere else about the fact that the officials and Draymond completely hosed the Celtics.
So here's the thing.
The question is what happens. If they win game three at home.
Yes.
The question is what happens in game four.
Right. So this is where I'm going with it next. It would have been a better story for the Celtics to win two on the road where they had been playing well, mm-hmm. and Golden State to then steal the next two. It would have been a unique narrative. It would have been more believable in the context. You know, and even if Golden State had won, like, again, even if you would let game two kind of play out, you know, just fairly, there's still a good chance Golden State wins that game.
You could even say they win game three. Celtics get game four.
Or they win both games. Or Golden State, Celtics win 1 and 2. Golden State wins 3 and 4. It's a 3-game series. And Golden State is home court again. That big swing and the highs and the lows, like that, you know, rigged narrative would be far more entertaining. And they could have done it so much more subtly. And potentially Golden State still, they still might have won game 2 without Draymond doing all of that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it really looked like the Celtics like could have taken that if they hadn't been beaten into the ground. But
yeah, I think, go ahead.
I'm just saying why rig it the way that they did?
Well, that's right. And that's the problem. I mean, certainly let's take the officials out of it for a second. I understand why Golden State wanted to play with more aggression and wanted to be more in Boston's face and wanted to really kind of speed them up and force them to make bad decisions with the ball. And, you know, getting Horford's face after he shot the lights out and Derek White and on and on, all that makes sense. And so that was going to happen regardless of what the officials did, that there was going to be a counterpunch. Right. And so I saw the counterpunch coming just like you did in terms of what the team was going to do. And, you know, I think now the question is, so what Golden State did in game 2, do you need to counteract or what do you need to fix of your own? And is it as simple as make sure you guard the 3-point line with Steph freaking Curry and don't throw the ball away and you're going to win the series in 5 games? Is it that simple? Because it feels like it's that simple.
I think if the game is called fairly, the Celtics have clamped down level defense. That's better than Golden State's ability to clamp down on D.
Yeah.
I think Rob Williams is still clearly not healthy. Mm-hmm. The days off between these games could really help the Celtics out significantly. And I think that they have better ball movement. You know, here's what's interesting after game 1, the whole narrative was the Celtics, you know, bench or outside of the top 2 are not going to shoot the ball that way again. But everybody knew that neither would Tatum. And so a lot of that is equalizing, especially when you look at what a performance Tatum had in game 2, despite all these shenanigans. So I don't know that we'll see Tatum have another game 1 in this series. And so what they really need is everybody else to just be who they are, the game to be called reasonable so that the ball movement can happen. I mean, every time, look at the Milwaukee series, look at the Miami series. Every time the ball stopped moving for the Celtics, it was because the other team was allowed to clutch and grab on the perimeter. I pointed this out in the Milwaukee series. I pointed it out again in the Miami series. And in game 1, they didn't allow it. And in game 2, it went to a whole new level. After game 1, I was telling everybody, I was like, finally, a real officiated game. I was just so happy with the product. Not because we won, and it did wind up being a nice win. Like I said, even in the third quarter, I felt I can't complain about the officials. They're down 14 because of them. And Golden State, that's where my head was at. In game 2, I just can't. And so I think, honestly, the answer is it really does come down to the officiating. The Celtics had won 7 of the last, 8 games against Golden State heading into the finals. They've always matched up well, even when they weren't as good as they are today. They've punched them in the mouth before. We've talked about it. And Golden State's an amazing team. And you sit there and look and you think, boy, Steph Curry could pretty much beat you on any given night by himself. I still believe that. I just don't believe he can do it 7 friggin' times. And I think the Celtics, I mean, look at the defense in game 1. Look at how Derek White clamped down on him. There's an argument that Derek White should probably start at point guard in this series. There's a legit argument for that because he's hot. He's on fire, not necessarily because he's the better choice. You never do it. But performance-wise, the way he's coming into the finals off the birth of his son or daughter? Son, right? Mm-hmm. At the birth of his son. He's there. And his defense on Steph was phenomenal in game one. So there's an argument to be made there. I think they're the better team. I think game one said it. I think the way that they even stayed within 2 points at the half in game two spoke volumes. But when they came out of halftime, instead of like upping it to a new level, after about three more minutes of that, they broke. They gave up. I mean, I don't mean that they stopped trying. I just mean they knew where this was going.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like, that's the part of where I think what you're saying, I totally agree with, because I felt like they tried to persevere through the shenanigans, right? They took the Draymond thing. They didn't take the bait. They tried to push through. They tried to push through the second quarter. They kept it close at halftime. I mean, there was like, it was like, okay, we're going to keep trying. And it's like they got out of the first few minutes of that third quarter, and it was just like, oh, we got more of the same. And the guys were all of a sudden like, okay.
Yeah, what's the point?
Never mind then.
Let's not get hurt, you know, trying to fight an uphill battle here. Right. You know, it's more than us against us. Right. So,
and then, you know, the concern I have is does that, you know, some of that kind of relaxed, you know, that it's kind of a snowball rolling downhill. It just kind of picks up.
Yeah, they're going to be so pissed for game three, dude. All right, let's talk about game three after this.
Yes.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NBA Finals, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball scores, all the latest fighting news, which might also be the NBA, and even next season's early NFL futures. Pardon me. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use that promo code, you know it well, CLNS50, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Dude, this is how much I care about this show. I'm wheezing.
Playing through.
I'm wheezing. I'm coughing. I am.
You're playing through pain. You're persevering. You're like, you're Marcus Smart out there. You're Rob Williams. You're playing through the pain.
Oh,
you know, doing your best.
I'm just trying to make it happen.
That's right.
Game three.
The listeners appreciate it. You know that. You know they do. So
no, what they appreciate is I hit mute every time I cough. Okay. Game three. Yeah. Your predictions.
I think the Celtics win in a walk. I think they come out.
Destroy.
I think they reassert their dominance over the series. I think that they know what they did wrong. They know that defensively when they're locked in, particularly on Curry, they are very – the Golden State doesn't have an answer. They need to figure out a way to get to the rim. That's the one thing that I would say is the most troubling thing that I look at here through the first two games. And I think that's really related to ball movement. The Celtics were hot in the fourth quarter, shooting threes in game one. They didn't need to go because they're making everything from 25 feet. And you know, to that end, you know, Jason Tatum was pretty damn hot in that first half of game two. So, you know, I understand why they didn't, but to me, that's just a sign that the Celtics are not looking hard enough to try to get to the rim. You're not getting enough free throws that way. You're not going to be able to get them in rotation. And when
it's really too bad Rob isn't healthy.
Right.
Like fully healthy, because that would solve a lot of that.
But also when you get to the rim, they got to look at the rim. Because I think a lot of the turnovers they had, particularly in game two, is they get in the paint and no one was there at the rim and they were still kind of looking to give it up as opposed to just finishing. I realize Golden State has made a point of emphasis for their team to make sure that they don't give up shots to Rem. And they've been historically one of the strongest teams of the last decade in stopping points in the paint. But this Celtics team has got to find a way to break that logjam up. And if they're not going to play Looney and Draymond together, there are opportunities. They're playing small lineups. And I think they're going to try to play Poole more. And I think that's where the Celtics are going to punish them. And I think if they're going to punish them by playing Poole more, they got to get the ball inside. Al Horford better be spending these next 2 days in the post working on his post moves and try to get something. Because if they're going to put Clay on, Al Horford needs to make him pay.
Remember when Al Horford made Giannis pay?
I do.
That's what's coming in game three.
It's mindset, and he's going to have it.
Yeah, he just looked at that game and said, wow, Draymond just did what I was supposed to do.
Right. Yep.
That I did in the Milwaukee series.
Exactly. He fought back. He said, oh, you're going to do that? All right. So Draymond went round two. Now Horford's got to answer in round three. I think we need more. I think Smart needs to come out with a stronger game. That he was really a missing weapon. And the way that he can get the ball moving when he's focused in that end, I think was something that's been missing here, particularly in game two. He was really a non-factor. And we need more Marcus Smart creation, I think, to try to get some of those seams opened up so we can get to the rim. I think you're right. Derek White has been really good for these two games. And I think you do need to have Derek White on the floor more often. I think Pritchard has actually had good minutes too, as well. So he's not hurt. They're not going to hurt. Pritchard is not going to hurt us defensively against
Golden. Not in this series.
They're always going to have someone on the floor who's small, whether it's Poole or whether it's Steph. You know, and he can somewhat, I'm not saying he's going to stop him, but he can stay with him. And I think that's, you know.
And we've seen with Peyton too. I mean, he's a little bit of a shooting threat because they ignore him. Yeah. Right. But honestly, what I saw when he came in and stepped in for minutes in the second half of game two is playmaking.
Yeah. When they made that run, you know, in terms of that the fourth quarter there in game one,
he was setting everything up.
It was he and Derek White on the floor.
Right.
And I don't think that that's necessarily, I think it's about mindset. I think it creates that kind of flow, you know, and both of those guys.
And Golden State didn't know what to expect. It's also about surprise. They never game plan for that. Right. They never said, oh, this is what they're going to do. Like they had to learn that in the series. Does it work multiple times?
Right.
Maybe not. But to your point about mindset, you know, Smart's got to make sure that he's doing the things that those two have done when they were on the floor together in this series. And even in game two, like I said, when Peyton came in, you know, you saw it right away. All of a sudden, you were able to get that ball inside a little bit. And sure, maybe it's because they threw out the reserves, and I get that. But
I still that's felt what they like, need. That's I think that's what Boston needs. When they move the ball, you know, and they get inside, outside, and that motion is happening, that's when they're just so much more difficult. And regardless of what, Golden State is too good at the rim to simply just sit to just simply go ISO. You have to move the ball to move the Golden State defense. And Peyton can do that. White can do that. Smart needs to continue to do that. If they do that, and the Celtics are getting offense in the flow, and I think they were getting offense in the flow in the first half there. Jalen has those hot starts, but sometimes when he does that, it takes Boston out of what they're trying to accomplish. And that's Jalen needs to figure that out, because sometimes I think that we just give the ball to Jalen and stand around and watch, and that's not helpful. Same with Jason, but it's more obvious with Jalen because it's such a condensed moment of just power, I think. And of course his passing, you know, history hasn't been so hot. So great time to show it. And it's a great time for the team to show that they can win at home too, you know?
Okay. So Game three prediction's pretty easy. I think win at home, punch back. We got 5 minutes before we wrap this show up.
Game four is the big one.
Game four is the, do they assert themselves or do they lose home court advantage?
Right.
What's your prediction?
So the question is, when does Scott Foster come into this series?
Yeah.
Does Scott Foster come in tomorrow when he's not needed to extend anything other than maybe help Golden State? Because if they win, then Boston can only balance it. That seems a little bit bold for the Scott Fosterites. So I'm thinking he's not coming in until game four. And if so, I think you win game three. And if you're going to have to win game four, you're going to have to win game four. Yeah, well, here's the other thing. Could they bring Scott Foster in like they did in the Miami series when things got out of hand? They brought Scott Foster in to kind of settle the shit down. I could see them bringing him in game three to keep Draymond in check.
I think the Celtics win all the odd numbered games. I think the league
is 1-3-5-7.
Yep. Yep. So they get one at home, three on the road. We're furious as a fan base after a loss at home for game six, which is just exactly what they want. But then in game seven, they call it fair. The Celtics get the win that they earned probably in less games. And they take home the trophy in seven. I think they win all. I think it's back and forth. Okay. Punch, 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 punch. Win one on the road. Win one at home. Lose one at home. Win one on the road. Ah, I'm going to close it in six. Lose it at home. Oh, God. Back on the road. And as the series, as the postseason is gone for the Boston Celtics, they win the whole series essentially on the road. They go 3-1 on the road in the championship, and it echoes everything else that's been going on since they kicked this off against the New Jersey Nets. Milwaukee, Miami, there's a whole thing here. And how it would just suck if they won this in seven on the road. Like, they take home the championship in San Francisco.
I'll take it anywhere, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think Boston.
You're still going three. Celtics in six?
I think I am staying with Celtics in six.
All right.
I think they win three. I think they win four. I think Gold State wins five. And I think the Celtics come home and win in six. Because I just don't think Golden State is close enough. I think Boston is that much better.
Substantially better, yeah.
But for two series, have I seen series extended further than it needs to on the basis of Celtic turnovers and poor officiating? Yes, I have. So is your idea completely implausible? No, it's not. But I think what it should be, based upon how good the teams are and how they played, Celtics in six is still my
– So here's the other thing. I still think 1-3-5-7 because I think they like the back and forth, and it makes everybody think that they're still in it, right, till the very end.
Yeah.
However, what would be really interesting storyline, if you're into storylines, is the Celtics take 3 and 4. They're up 3-1.
Oh, Jesus.
And then Golden State – wins at home, it's 3-2, and then they get the one on the road, and it's 3-3, and it's like this whole thing of the team with the momentum and also the odds of winning three straight, you know, with the two best teams playing against each other. Isn't that unlikely? But at the same time, the Celtics, you know, have made a living off of winning on the road in the postseason, but Golden State's been there. They have the experience with game seven. Like, you just hear all these storylines coming out of that. So here's what I'll say. 1-3-5-7 is the NBA is just following their standard practice. You know, this is the book. Got to go seven. Everybody's got to make money. It's the way we do business. Okay. Celtics win in seven, but are up 3-1 is now, you know, this thing is rigged. Celtics in six might be the only way to atone for game two in my mind.
Yeah. I'm hopeful that it's so obvious what we've seen here over the last 24 hours or 48 hours or whatever it is, that will stay with him. I just feel like there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff here that's going to carry on. The Steve Javy stuff, the Draymond comment.
Even Van Gundy. He was like, that's not a foul. He said that twice in the first quarter. And then he said that they should have Draymond go. Or maybe he flip-flopped by the end of that conversation. But initially he said, because probably on the teleprompter in front of him, it was like, that's the third time you've called it out. Back off. I'm changing my mind. You know, but literally that when Van Gundy is like calling out how poorly it's officiated,
I know,
several times. Well, All right.
I hope I'm right. I hope you're wrong, because my stomach just churning thinking about your idea there, and I don't even want to think about that.
I don't like it either. But I don't like it any more than you.
But by the time that happens, so we have 3-4, and then is game 5 on Monday? I think it is.
I think so. I think 7 games, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it.
I think let's just before we wrap this up. So Celtics play. Yeah. So it's Wednesday, Friday, and then Monday, Thursday. So the only single day off in between is between games 3 and 4, which frankly helps, I think, the Celtics be.
Yeah, they're better off when they play closer together.
I think so too. I think I would rather have that. I mean, it's not great for Al and Rob, but I think I'd rather have that. Yeah. So you win, you get 3-4. Then Monday you go to Golden State. Thursday you play at home in game 6. And then Golden State would be a Sunday at 8. Let's hope that's not in the cards, and I hope Boston just takes care of this in 6. That would make us all feel a whole lot better.
Amen. That's going to do it for this episode of Celtics Stuff Live. As a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at @CSL_TweetLive. You can follow John at @CSL_Duke. I'm at @CSL_Justin. As always, a heartfelt thank you for everybody that's tuning in. And on behalf of CLNS founder Nick Gelso, my co-host John Duke, I'm Justin Poulin. You've been listening to Celtics Stuff Live in the finals.